It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now, a guest on his own show, Tiki Barber!
What's happening, boys?
How are you, sir?
Fun day today, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm sitting next to him. I'd rather be sitting next to you. So.
Well, you'll be sitting next to me tomorrow. It'll be all good.
Oh, Tiki,
Sean
couldn't
have been that bad, even though I'm sure he was insufferable as a Giant fan today.
No, not so. I welcomed everybody. I want to welcome you to football season. We're here. Giants got a big win. We're happy to be here.
You know we're 3 weeks in, right?
Well, first two are preseason.
Oh, God.
You know how
it works. No, you're right.
You're kind of right. What was your impression on that victory yesterday?
It wasn't pretty, but it was effective. That's really what matters most. And I think the thought process on Malik Nabers' selection back in April was it's playing out exactly as you wanted it to. That is, target him often and let him go be him. And it's exactly what we're seeing, especially these last couple of weeks. 18 targets last week, and obviously the big game he had yesterday with two touchdowns. I think that the other not so paid attention to player who is really living up to his draft status is Wandell Robinson, because that kid is as effective a slot third down guaranteed catch that there is in the league right now. And nobody's going to pay attention to him because everybody's paying attention to Malik Nabers and how amazing he is. The records I heard Sean talking about in his little whatever thing he was doing in that last break. But Wandell Robinson had a really good game as well. And I think it creates a dynamic it can be really effective for this Giants offense going forward. Again, they made a lot of bad mistakes. They were sloppy at times, way too many penalties, stagnated in the second half, couldn't convert third downs, and were punting back and giving opportunities to a Browns team that's just lost. But you got a victory. Really, that's all that matters.
Amen. That's it, baby. And I really, though, when you go back to the beginning of this game, when Eric Gray fumbles, and one play later, Amari Cooper's in the end zone, and it's 7-0, and Giant fans are panicking, I thought a little bit later on, Brian Daboll going for it on 4th-and-1 from his own 43-yard line. And then drawing up, I thought, a brilliant play call. Get the ball in Malik Nabers' hands, call a sweep. Like, that changed everything. And that was the old Brian Daboll. You know, yes. I've criticized him for not being aggressive. That's the aggressiveness I think we all miss.
Well, you're right, because he's aggressive. And it's throw caution to the wind type of play calling. And I think you have to do that. And you do it by... Malik Nabers, you are our best athlete right now, our most dynamic option. We're giving you the ball, period. And I dare you to figure out a way to stop him type of thing. And we saw that over and over. The catch, the contested catch down the sideline, we just went over, I forget to say, the cornerback for the Browns, but it was just... Like, when was the last time we saw somebody do that for the Giants?
Yeah.
It's been a long time from a wide receiver standpoint.
Yeah, Tiki, I don't know if you're aware of this, too. Another big part of this game now has creeped up 2 weeks in a row, and Giants fans are begging for your help. How can we get Devin Singletary to stop fumbling the football?
It's just awareness, man. It's just awareness. The first one happened because he had the ball in his right arm going down the left sideline. And when I say awareness, I mean awareness of people around you. And so my rule was simple. Whenever I felt contact, whenever I felt like somebody was close to me, I was covering up. Devin was trying to swipe away the linebacker, the filling linebacker. So he's not necessarily worried about ball security going through contact. He's trying to usher the falling linebacker away from him with his ball protection hand, and therefore he's compromised. And so when you do those things, it seems right in the moment, like, oh man, I'm creating space for myself. But what you're really doing is creating an opportunity for a defender to get a shot on the ball. And so to me, it's awareness of defenders. And whenever there's awareness of defenders, you got to be high and tight and crossed over so that the ball can't go anywhere. Even if they hit it perfectly, the ball's not going anywhere.
Would you have slid at the one if you were Singletary?
Probably not. I didn't get touchdowns, bro. Right? I played a decade. I only got 55.
You know, so earlier on we were talking about this because...
I wouldn't. It was the right play, but I would not have done it.
So I was talking about it in terms of, well, if you're Devin Singletary, man, I mean, you're going to be a free agent again. Like, you want as many touchdowns as possible. Well, now I think of you. You have a resume that gets kind of studied.
Okay, hold on. What year of my career is it? Is it like year three? I've just rushed for 1,000 yards for the first time, and I'm trying to make a name for myself? Or is it like year nine, where it's a smart play, I'm the vet, doesn't matter. I'm not getting a new contract. I'm just kind of doing what's right.
Yeah, but
by the way, it was the right play. No, you end the game. Period. They're not getting a chance to go score real quickly and do an onside kick, even though teams don't do onside kicks when they should do onside kicks, like what happened in my game. But that's another story. I feel like he did what was right because he doesn't care about this is going to hurt me when I negotiate a new contract.
Yeah, but you know what? And I bet you didn't think this way because you just said something interesting. Well, where is it in your career? Earlier in your career, you'd probably be more likely to score the touchdown,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's say it's the second and last year of your career where you had 9 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Now your resume is being...
Oh, I want double digits.
Yes!
No doubt. You
want double digits. And, you know, I'm not saying like getting in the Hall of Fame is different between 55 or 56 touchdowns,
yeah,
but numbers matter.
No, they do.
So...
And when you evaluate... Because nobody looks at context.
Right.
And at the end.
Right.
Nobody cares.
Exactly.
To real, you know, to think about, oh, well, Tiki had a game against Washington in 05 where he didn't play the third quarter. He would rush for maybe 100 more yards, and that 100 more yards puts me close to 2,000 yards, and it just changes the conversation. You know what I mean? Because I had 1,800 that season,
right?
So or 1,850 or whatever it was. So it changes like the conversation about who you are based on a large number or a large statistic that people see.
Well, I read, and there's a football guy I really respect. He's actually a former teammate of yours who did not like Devin Singletary going down.
Mm.
This is what he said.
Go ahead.
I guess my football IQ is trash. The score is 21-15 with a little over 2 minutes to go. Sorry, fellas. I'm scoring to make it a two-possession game. The defense, they pay you to play just like they pay me to score.
Mm.
Devin, good bleep out there today, bro. And he went on to say...
Except for the fumble,
yes. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, I get y'all possibilities in that scenario. I'm not stupid, so please don't think that. If y'all think Watson was going to drive the field to score, you're sadly mistaken.
Okay.
What do you think of Brandon Jacobs' comments?
I think Brandon is like a running back that has a running back mentality. Go score, bro. Get everyone that you can. But look, he's not wrong. The Giants were probably winning the game if they score anyways. But by Devin doing that, it ends the game. It's over, right? There's no more plays that are going to matter,
right?
When you slide down and you're at the 2 minute and they don't have any timeout, so it ended the game. And honestly, I kind of respect and get it because in a game like that where it was ugly and unnecessarily close, because the Browns had nothing, it was unnecessarily close. You just end it. Let's get out of here. Forget the statistical and, you know, lifting of my whatever. Let's just get out of here with a win. And he did the right thing.
So we're talking to Tiki. Tiki, there's been an argument that's occurred between really Sean and Lugie, me and Lugie, the audience with each other about the second half. Obviously, the Giants did not score in the second half.
No.
I am under the belief that when you watch it, I don't think Brian Daboll really took the foot off the gas. Like, I think that they were still aggressive. They just didn't execute. But there are some Giant fans who believe that they kind of went into a shell and tried to run the clock out and did not play aggressively in the second half of this game. What was your feeling on the way they played offensively in the second half?
I don't think it was passive, but I do think you got the fumble on the first series, right? And then mm-hmm. you have penalties in the second series. And then in the third series, I don't remember what happened.
A sack killed them.
Yeah, it was like a big sack that kills them. So now they're behind it, and they're third and like ridiculously long.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first three series, that is the entirety of the third quarter. It just, you put yourself in bad spots. Giving up a sack, you fumble, you have big, bad penalties. And then in the fourth quarter, you have a lead. You're comfortable with this lead. And the last thing you want to do is throw an interception. And so you go three and out. And then you get in the same situation. We're now closer to the end of the game. It's like, all right, let's just be smart, right? Keep the ball, keep short passes, try to get some first downs. You give the Browns credit. By the way, they're supposed to have one of the best defenses in football. You give them credit.
Right.
But so I'm not going to say it was conservative. I think early on, when you could have been aggressive in the second half or the third quarter, they just kept shooting themselves in the foot. And by the time you get to the fourth quarter, it's like, all right, let's stop trying to be big boys here. They've been, score 30 points. Let's just win the football game. And by the way, I think that was communicated to this team because most running backs aren't thinking go down on the 1 yard line.
Right.
You know, breaking tackles. Yeah. By the way, it was a spectacular run.
Yeah, it was.
Right? He broke two tackles. He stepped out of something. He's just all of a sudden he's free unexpectedly. And it's like, dude, let me just go score. Hit my head on the goalpost. And he's, you know, wherewithal or thought process just slide. It ends the football game.
They did say in the post game that Daniel Jones was telling everybody in the huddle throughout every player, remember, don't score, don't score, don't score.
Yes.
So that was really well communicated. I'm just curious, Tiki, you know, off of all of that and off of everything, I think it's time for you to take some bows. I got to admit I was wrong.
On Sam Darnold?
No, I'm not. Forget Sam Darnold for a second.
He threw four touchdowns.
You told everybody.
I'll admit that.
You told everybody, we got to wait till the end of the month before making a decision on pulling Daniel Jones.
Of course.
I was ready to bench him.
Of course.
Has he extended a stay? When's the next reevaluation now,
without
Jones?
Without a doubt. Look, if they go out and they beat the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, a game which I'll be at and I'm looking forward to, now all of a sudden we'll say, all right, Daniel is back to where the Daniel that we've seen. Now, look, he got away with an interception because they roughed the passer.
Yeah.
And
had no bearing on the interception team.
Exactly, but it didn't matter, right? You still can't rough the passer.
Of course. Yeah.
You just can't do those things. So they got away with things. That's why, you know, when the Mets chat, when I think it was Phil asked me, Phil's like, oh, what do you think about the Giants? Like, yeah, they got away with some things, right? But they won the game. And so, like, those are one of the things. Because if that's not a roughing the passer, it changes the complexion of the game.
Completely.
Completely. So they got away with it. And so they're not good enough to start saying, all right, well, now we're on our way to the playoffs. Because they're sloppy, right? And they're still making some mistakes, but they're getting better every week. It feels better every week.
100%.
And it helps so much that you just have a dude who you can rely upon. Like, one of the things I used to take pride in was that you're getting the same me every Sunday. Right, no matter what, who we're playing, what the circumstances are, you can count on me to do what I do every single Sunday. And there was a few around, a few years earlier in my career where that didn't happen. But at the end of my career, you knew exactly what you were getting. I think the Giants have that again with Malik Nabers. You know exactly what kind of baller, what kind of player, what kind of playmaker you're getting every single Sunday, and it's freeing. Right, it makes you feel so much more confident that you can find ways to win and make plays.
So you think he's the greatest wide receiver in the history of football?
No, he's not.
Oh, okay.
But he's trending that way. But it seems like all of these kids out of LSU, when they come in their first couple of years, they're trending that way. Right, we'll see once teams start. All right, we're not going to keep one man guy. We're gonna put cloud coverage on him. We're gonna put two guys. We're gonna play man, but bracket him. Right, when teams start intentionally taking him away, that's when I think we start looking at Dave's as a play caller and how he mitigates that.
Well, that was my question for you, because in the second half of this game, you obviously watch these games very differently than me and a lot of people.
He wasn't targeted. I mean, he only had one or one.
Did Cleveland do anything different? What changed?
That was basically it. Cleveland started trying to take him away. And, I think the Giants are trying to find ways to move him around more. Remember how after week one, I was like, man, this offense is so static. They just kind of stand still, right? Get to the line of scrimmage and run a play. It's harder to free up a guy when you know exactly where he's lining up and he's not moving. You know what I mean? He's not going in motion. He's not shifting. You just get to the line of scrimmage and let's go play football. It makes it easy on the defense. And so I think what the Giants are going to end up having to do is shift formations. It can't just be, all right, Malik, you got to beat this guy. You got to beat this double team. And I think what helps them a little bit in that regard, though, is that Daniel Jones is mobile. And we saw some of these we saw some of his QB runs and, taking off when things weren't great. It forces defenses to play more zone because you can look at him.
Right.
If you start playing man all the time and guys start turning their back, then Daniel Jones is going to take off. As soon as he sees backs of helmets all in front of him, he's going to pick up 10 yards or 15 or whatever it may be. That's what happened in 2022. Like, a lot of teams were like, they're not good enough. We can cover these guys' man covers. Let's just play a lot of man. So Daniel Jones would just take off. And you see a lot of QB runs. And now they may have to start getting back to that a little bit.
Tiki, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock, baby.
Looking forward to it, boys.
There he is.
Later, man.
Great Tiki Barber. Giants off a victory. They're 1-2. When we come back.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.